And as long as there is any ice left in the water, the pot will never boil, will it? Purity is the absence of impurity. Purity is the positive quantity, impurity the negative, isn't it? And so when we say, that's the way God made me, that's the way you have to accept me, how wrong we are. We do not understand, or have not understood, that when we use the word conversio, which we do from time to time, that is a turning. We turn away from evil to do good. The Adam and Eve turned away from good and did evil. That meant that Adam and Eve lost all of the positiveness that was in them. And we inherited our negative qualities, or we have rather, I should say, the negative qualities are in us at birth, at conception. Not because God put them there. But because that's what we inherited from our first parents. And our first parents could not give us humility when they didn't have humility. And as a consequence, we were born, we were the negative qualities. And our lives must be geared to get rid of these qualities and reach the state of perfection that was first enjoyed, at least to the extent of our ability. The state of perfection that was once enjoyed by Adam and Eve at before the fall. And unless and until we get to that level, let us not talk about sanctity. It's that serious. It's that important. Today we do not speak of these things freely, and we think otherwise of Catholicism. Catholicism, the only purpose of Catholicism, other than maintaining what Jesus Christ had intended for it to maintain, the only purpose for Catholicism is to lead souls to God. The only way we can reach God, which is sanctity, the only way we can reach God is to do away with these negative qualities of ours and reintroduce into us that state of perfection which was enjoyed by Adam and Eve, which we got a good taste of course, at the time of our baptism. But things being as they are, we have lost our innocence as we grew older. Now we must work to bring this back. But we today think that Catholicism rests, or rather, I don't know exactly how to say it, that we do best at saving our immortal souls when we go out and prove something to somebody. We have to find something theological to go out and prove it to somebody who is untheological, so that they will know what we're talking about. That has nothing to do with Catholicism. Not at all. If I never in my life engage in a conversation with anybody concerning a point of theology, that will have nothing to do with my ability to save my soul. But if I make or take steps that would lead me to the perfection that was once enjoyed by Adam and Eve, that will lead me to where I am supposed to be and the salvation of my soul. I remember once we had a priest visiting us, a young priest, just off the griddle. And I thought it would be a good opportunity to ask him. He was a stranger, of course, to us. I thought it would be a good opportunity to hear somebody else's voice for a change for the monks and not to hear the same old, which can get, I'm sure, rather boring at times, or most times. And I asked this young priest to give us a spiritual conference. He said, I'll be glad to. So we all went into the little room, sat down, and all of us were ready to hear a spiritual message. Something that had to do with the salvation of our souls. Something that would help us a little bit to save our souls. So we all sat down, waiting. And this young priest started off his message with a question. At that time, Father Michael was a young man here. He still is young, but he was younger then. And he addressed his question to Father Michael. And he said, Father Michael, what is a vow? V-O-W. What is a vow? Well, it took us all a little bit by surprise, but I was sitting in my chair and I figured, well, maybe he's leading up to something. So Father Michael did the best he could to give him a definition, a dictionary definition of the word vow. Then, for the next 45 minutes to an hour, all we heard were the legalisms, the proofs, the classroom discussions of what a vow is. I was so mad I couldn't see straight. If I weren't in a church, I would use the proper language to demonstrate my anger. But what did that have to do in the slightest degree with the salvation of my soul? But that man thought, sincerely, I'm sure, that he was giving us a spiritual message. And that is what we are hearing in too many of our traditional pulpits today. And we wonder sometimes why our traditional people, we wonder why they can come up with some of the unbelievable stupidities that they come up with. It is time for us to set our record straight. You and we, these sisters, these monks, and all of you did not come here for the sake of the traditional landscape that you see in this church. If that's the reason why you come here for the wrong reason. Now please take a chisel and chisel those words into the granite of our head. That's not why we're here. And that is precisely why today, in too many of our traditional chapels, we're losing people by the dozens and dozens and dozens, because the leadership of the new church is beginning on the mural of their churches to paint a traditional landscape. And the people get the at-home feeling when they see this. And they overlook the fact that in order to get to this traditional landscape, all of the other that you see today, the drums and the jumping up and down and the dancing girls and the dancing liturgy and the handshaking and the kissing and the hugging and everything else that goes with it, etc., 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 etc. We've got our eyes so fixed on what we see on the wall, and we hear it in Latin too, by the way. That we overlook that ocean of craziness that we are a part of. It is time that we put the records straight, my beloved people. We cannot be both ways at the same time. And we have to understand that well. We cannot accept this Sunday and that next Sunday. It's got to be the one or the other. And the two cannot be brought together. I've got to quit. It's getting late. Then you'll fuss at me. But remember what I said and the substance of this sermon today. God did not create me proud. God did not create me lustful. God did not create me opinionated, and so on. I got that from my grandparents, who could not give me what they didn't have, what they had lost. And it is up to me to see to it that I go back and recapture that which they had. That's where restoration lies, my beloved people. We speak of, and we hear printed before our eyes all the time, we got to restore all things in Christ. But in our stupidity, when we speak of restoring all things in Christ, we're talking about the pictures on the wall, the statues, the language, the vestment that the priest wears, the way we watch every move he makes, and if he moves one way or the other, one inch too far this way, or one inch too far that way, that he is wrong. That's a bunch of bunk. And we've got to know this. We come here to overcome these negative quantities. And to the extent that we still keep, you know, we might get rid of the big rocks. So it's a hot, you know, we've gotten rid of them. But there's still some little pebbles tied on strings that are tied to our feet, you know. Because we don't want to get rid of it. We don't want to be scrubbed too clean. After all, we have to keep a little bit of our ugliness, because we're gentlemen, and gentlemen always have a little bit of ugliness about them, do they not? After all, their manhood comes into question, doesn't it? I become less a man if I'm meek. And I am not quite muscular enough if I'm not just a little bit impure. And I can tell an impure joke, and it goes on. As long as we have those little pebbles tied to our feet, yes, we can take up off the ground. We sure can. But what happens? Those various strings, as we go through the treetops, you know, those strings get caught in the branches of the tree. And we're not all that much better off than if we had never taken off from the ground at all. With our whole mind, and with our whole souls, and with our whole being, and our whole understanding, this is what we must perform. And this is what we must learn if we're ever to find God. Not our ability to persuade, not our ability to prove, not our ability to debate. Forget that. As I say so often, look at all of our traditional articles, all of our traditional magazines, all of our traditional periodicals, or at least practically all of them. I don't want to be that all-embracing. Let's give room for a little bit, all right? How many spiritual articles do you find in them? How many? Maybe 1 in 100. But for the rest, every article is proving this about that, that about this, this is true, he's heretical, I'm heretical, name-calling, etc., 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 etc. Not any of them. Tell me, how in the name of common sense am I to save my immortal soul? Not any of them. And you put the article down, and all you have for the feeling is to go outside and find somebody that you can punch in the nose because you're that mad. Is that Catholicity? Is that what Jesus did today when he said, most your justice is greater than the scribes and Pharisees? Is that what he did? Is that what he was aiming at? Not at all. So my beloved people, I know I've got to quit, and I'm fixing to right now. Let's think this over. Let's pray for understanding. If we can just but understand what it's all about. To go out, if we're going to conquer the world, if we're going to convert the world, we're not going to do it by another article. And today, internet has absolutely destroyed, or should have destroyed by now, all credibility. in the truth of things. Because internet now is nothing but an accumulation of gobbledygook. That's all it is. And anybody that wants to can insert anything he wants to about anything he wants to and about anybody he wants to, and we accept that as gospel. Let's pray more. Let's get on our knees. And let us, when we say, it is my fault, let us understand what that horrendous statement means. Like the poor old man that entered the temple and said, oh Lord, I'm just a bundle of, everything is unprofitable. Please forgive me. He didn't go into detail, he didn't have to, because he already knew that God knew the answer. But the other gentleman that came all the way to the front thanked his God that he was not as degraded as that poor wretch that was in the back of the church. How many do not come all the way up to the altar on a daily basis and thank their God that they are not like the rest of men? Until we reach those positive qualities in us, we will never achieve sanctity. And that is that. I'm not speaking only to you. I'm speaking to everybody. Wherever he is seated in this church today, I am speaking to me as well. Until I, myself, the one who is preaching to you, until I can achieve those things, I, myself, will not be a saint. Is that clear? Am I scared? I certainly am. God bless us.